This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Like all live performers, from actors to musicians, people who perform drag have had to adapt and change during the COVID-19 pandemic. Some performers started doing outdoor shows, while others pivoted to video, live streaming their performances or creating pre-recorded content for their followers. There have even been drag competitions on Instagram. Joining us now to talk about different ways that drag artists have adjusted as we approach year three of this pandemic is Champaign, Urbana-based drag king Jess Schilf. They perform under the name Spank Nightly. That's Nightly with a K, which is perfect. And also forgive me, Mom, for saying that on the radio. Spank, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Sharon Sharalike. She's a drag queen based in Bloomington Normal, also the creator and owner of a company that outfits drag queens with breastplates and drag skins. Sharon, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Thank you, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. And listeners, our lines are open to you. If you have questions for our guests about the art of performing in drag and how the industry has changed and adapted during the pandemic, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So, Sharon, I'm going to begin with a basic question. For our listeners who may not be as familiar with drag, how would you describe it?
Well, I dress up like a drag queen, very flamboyant costumes. My personal style is like a lot of headdresses, kind of showgirl type look. And I perform at venues, you know, almost every weekend somewhere. And I lip sync. Mostly everyone, I've sang live a couple times, but mostly I lip sync to songs and yeah, just entertain the crowd by, I don't necessarily think I look like a woman. I'd look more like a drag queen.
Well, it's distinctive, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, I don't look like most women that I see.
Spank, what about you? When did you start doing drag? What was the climate like before the pandemic as well?
So before the pandemic, it was very much most shows were live. I think occasionally people would have like online shows, but for the most part, most gigs would be found at bars. At the time before the pandemic started, like right before, I had just got into my second year of performing in drag. And it's a little bit of a fight because, you know, there's a lot of competitions that you have to do to like try to be able to kind of make your name known and to have people like book you more and all that other stuff. But that was kind of what I was dealing with before the pandemic.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, so now let's talk about March 2020, Sharon. What happened immediately after the pandemic hit? Did you have another source of income to fall back on?
I mean, drag isn't really my main source. I do own a couple of companies that are related to drag. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but I own Boobs for Queens, which is a company. I make breastplates, silicone breastplates for drag queens to wear. And I've been performing for about 27 years. I started at the Bistro in Bloomington, Illinois, and when I first started, I made myself a silicone breastplate to wear because I wanted to look like I had a real cleavage. And so I wore it the first time I ever performed, and I never really wanted to sell them or anything because I wanted to be the only one, you know, who had
yeah,
one.
Right. Competitive
but
advantage.
But then I decided, well, maybe I'll try selling it. So I put up a website, and next thing I knew, I was selling a lot of them, and then it got on RuPaul's Drag Race, and that made my business get even bigger. So, I mean, now I've sold boobs all over the world. It's just crazy, and that's really like my main source of income. So I didn't really have any issues in the financial area, but I'm a outgoing person, you know, I enjoy being around people, obviously, because I perform. I like that feeling of being on stage. And that was kind of a shock because I'm booked almost every weekend, and then like every single show was canceled. So all of a sudden, you're just losing that, you know, part of your life that you really like doing and enjoy doing. So I pretty quickly started doing shows, live shows on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel, so, and I make videos like how to make costumes and how to do makeup and stuff like that for drag queens. And so I had the equipment already where I could film shows, and I kind of knew how to do it, but I did have to do like a crash course on how to do Facebook Live and a lot of editing, because I ended up filming my shows in advance and then I would show them on Facebook Live. That's kind of the only way that I was able to do it.
Yeah, sure. Well, Spank, let me ask you, what about you? How have you adapted your performances, if at all, for this new normal that we're living in?
So when the pandemic started, obviously a lot of the shows that I was planning on doing got canceled. It was kind of a disappointment. Now, what I did have going for me was that I already had a little bit of editing skills from like being in my junior high and high school AV clubs. And so I was able to kind of transfer that to my performances and only kind of get better from there. I had to look up a lot of things and learn different programs to be able to make my videos as good as I would like them, or was able to afford to get them to the quality I would like. But
sure. Can you make money off of videos online?
Absolutely. You know, it's going to be very dependent. A lot of the online shows that I was doing, at first people were kind of doing them for free because they really wanted to like just get out and perform, right? Everyone had like cabin fever and was really, you know, wanted to get back into the groove of things. And so a lot of people did shows for free. And then later, a lot of people were offering paid gigs online during this pandemic. That was a lot better. You could make money. People could tip you, just like in a live show where people would like, you know, hand you dollars. People could like electronically send you tips over like Venmo or Cash App or PayPal. And that was really nice.
And Sharon, what about you? And I don't know, maybe if you were making money off performances previously. I understand sometimes people have to actually pay to perform in a space. I wonder if there's a money saving aspect to going to video. What's it been like for you with that?
I had kind of an interesting thing happen where I do shows on Friday nights, so I have like a regular crowd here in Bloomington, and a lot of them, when I started doing the live shows, you know, they were all tuning in and watching it. And then they'd get a hold of me and ask me how they could tip me. So I didn't really want to do it for money. Cause you know, like Jess was saying, I wanted to just kind of do it for people, cause I felt sorry for people. It's being all closed in. But what I noticed was that they wanted to tip so that they could like feel like they're a part of a show. And so right away I started doing things with all the performers that I had on, you know, with PayPal and Cash App and stuff. And I think it just made people feel like they were participating again, you know, like if they were at a real show.
Let me just take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with two drag artists. Sharon Sharalike is based in the Bloomington Normal area and is also the creator of a company that outfits drag queens with breastplates and other gear. And we're also speaking with Spank Knightley, who's a Champaign-Urbana-based drag king. 800-222-9455 is our number. We're talking about the ways that drag has had to adapt to performing in the pandemic, just as we've talked about with musicians and theater and all the other constellation of live performers. We're coming up on year three of the pandemic. Things are certainly still not back to the, you know, what the, how do we say it, February 29, 2020 normal. Sharon, let me ask you, have you gotten a chance to perform in person during the pandemic, and what was it like?
Yeah, At first, I was performing with face masks on, and that's kind of interesting, you know, when the whole
makes the lip
idea
syncing
of your,
easier, right?
yeah, the whole idea of your job is, you know, the illusion of mostly your face, you know, I know a body too, but so then you're like covering up your face. I tried to incorporate face masks into my, like I'd make face masks that like match my costumes, and maybe they'd have a big mouth on them, you know, with fangs or something, you know, just to try to make it a little more fun than just putting on a face mask. But
sure.
So I tried to get creative like that. But yeah, I've gotten back to performing. You know, we obviously, we all know there was a lot of rules that had to be followed, and only a certain number of people could be in an area, you know, and we did stuff outside too. But yeah, I've gotten back into performing again and really enjoying it. I'm more, you know, I'm busier now than I've been in a long time. So
Spike, let me ask you a little bit of a bigger picture question. During the pandemic, a lot of us have had sort of time for self-reflection. We're seeing a lot of young people maybe feeling that they're kind of discovering their LGBTQ identity during the pandemic. Some are exploring dressing outside of that gender binary. I wonder if you're seeing this. I understand there's an active subculture on TikTok, the video social media app, for example. Do you see this happening more and more?
Absolutely. One of the things that was really good about the online drag aspect was that a lot of people, it made it very accessible for a lot of people to kind of come out of their shells and experiment with being able to like dress up, and especially in the comfort of their own home. The kind of silver lining, I guess I could say, about the changing over with the drag being online for a time was that a lot of people were exploring, you know, their gender identity, the way that they wanted to present. And drag, first of all, even outside of the even before the pandemic, is a great way to figure yourself out like that. And I absolutely think that it's been a great thing for young people to be able to figure out who they are.
Yeah. Just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. Sharon, you mentioned earlier that you've been doing this for 27 years. Can you talk about how...
I am old.
Sorry to rub it in. But how has this changed in that time? Is drag more mainstream now because of, you know, RuPaul and drag RuPaul's Drag Race and programs like that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's crazy now. You know, I do shows in places where I never dreamed I would be doing shows, you know, where it wasn't acceptable before. And that's kind of why I always appreciated my home bar there in Bloomington, because they were booking me when drag wasn't popular, you know, and I appreciate that back all those years ago. But yeah, I mean, drag has changed and evolved so much, and there's so many different types of people that do drag, and, you know, it's such a neat way for like self-expression, you know, to... I just love making costumes, and I like the look on people's faces, you know, when they see the costumes that I'm wearing or the different performances that I do. But for me, it's always kind of stayed the same as far as what I look like. You know, I've always been that kind of showgirl type, over the top headdress drag queen. So that part's always going to be the same, because that's really what I enjoy doing.
Well, Sharon Sharalike and Spank Knightley, I want to thank you so much for both sharing your passion and your work with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for having us.
And that is all the time we have for our show today. Sharon Sharalike is a drag performer based in Bloomington Normal, and also the creator and owner of businesses that outfit drag queens. We also heard from Spank Knightley, Knightley with a K, who is a drag king based in Champaign, Urbana. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Erica Scalise, who's also our engagement producer. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I want to urge you to visit our website, 21stshow.org. There you can find links to what we talked about on our program. If you want to read more, you can also find a link to subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can find your podcast. Just search for The 21st. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.